Well, I think we're finally live. Well, welcome to the situation report for August 26. Hard to believe it's already August. Sorry about the delay. Dealing with tech issues again. I can't seem to get anything to work since I've been back, which is interesting because some days it works, some days it doesn't. So a couple of things to start with. Let's start with the DNC. I had a bunch of questions over the DNC. The short answer is very satanic, very scripted, and a lot of noise. Then all the noise was to the fact that Harris is not qualified to be president, let alone be the nominee. So all of that was a show, and there's not going to be any, you know, they're already setting up to steal the election. Merrick Garland coming out yesterday threatening people. I hate to break it to him, but the reality is it doesn't matter how many thugs he throws on the ground. It's not going to change anything, right? People are not going to put up with this election being stolen, and they're going to try something before the election, and it's probably going to be a false flag so that they can manipulate the outcome. They're already cheating by mail-in ballots. They've already tainted the voter rolls. They've already tainted the ballots. So you can do the math on what this is going to look like. So I don't think the American people will put up with it this time. I know I'm not going to. This time, when this kicks off, and let's just say for devil's advocate's sake that we get all the way through the election. If we get all the way through the election and they do what they did in 22, the guns are coming out. I'll just tell you that right now. Because there's a lot of people in the country that have figured out that, number one, the whole process is tainted and it's completely corrupt. Right down to the candidates. And then people have figured out that if this happens, they're going to go full communist. And I don't see them getting that far for a couple of reasons. I got a call today. In fact, Sharita and I just talked before the show. We're going to do another show this week. So thanks for taking my call, by the way, Sharita. Appreciate that. I was trying to multitask and sucking at it. But the short answer is that they're not going to let this get that far. And Tulsi Gabbard coming out today and endorsing Trump is a very, very big deal, because you're seeing more and more pundits from the left starting to come over to Trump's side of the house. And look, I don't think that RFK is any less controlled than Trump is. I think the Israelis are involved in that. Mossad's involved in that. I think that there's two different camps that are playing against each other, the haves and the have-nots, those with the seat at the table and those who do not have a seat at the table. And I think that you're going to see this escalate before the election. And I think that they bet on both ponies. There's no such thing as left and right. There's the haves and the have-nots. And then when you look at it from that perspective and you stop thinking about left versus right, then you start to see the things that I'm talking about. One of which is everything is a controlled narrative. Everything right now is a controlled narrative. The fact that Garland came out and said, I'm going to use the January 6th powers to go after anybody who questions the election. First of all, it's unconstitutional. Secondly, he doesn't have the authority. Thirdly, and most importantly, he doesn't have the jurisdiction. Nice try. He can go after you for federal elections if you're caught committing fraud. But questioning election, yeah, show me the statute, Merrick. And then there's the situation with the Parks Department and Troop. We talked about that Wednesday. What that should show you, especially the diatribe we had, when both of us were pissed on Wednesday. We were both heated. And then again, Thursday. Every time I think about it, it just makes my blood boil. And hopefully there's an end around with this to where we can go around the city and we don't have to deal with those shitbags. But this is the hypocrisy of the left at its absolute finest. This whole situation with Troop, the fact that this Parks and Rec, you know, Grand Poobah shows up on a night that nobody's ever seen her before, and she shows up just to talk. And then the very next weekend, Park Ranger, Phoenix Police are on site to trespass him and to kick him off site. That should tell you everything you need to know about the left. It's okay for you to participate in their system as long as you're signed up for the grift, but it's not okay for you to actually help people. They want you to stand off their charities that don't actually do anything. And most importantly, they want to spend a tremendous sum of money on consultants and approved vendors that you have to play with who are completely combat ineffective. That's the game. And if you go to Seattle, it's on display. The homeless are overrunning the city, just like Portland, overrunning the city. Do you think they care about helping the homeless? No, it's a grift. It's yet another way for them to launder money through these homeless NGOs right into their own pockets. It's a big grift. Everything you see that comes out of the city government, that comes out of the state government, and now the federal government is a grift. That should tell you everything you need to know about what Merrick Garland said yesterday. Everything he had to say was, we're going to protect our grift and our money laundering operations at all costs. That's what the game is. And if you follow the money, you'll figure out why we're in Ukraine, why we're in Africa, why we're in Syria, why we were in Afghanistan for 10 years, almost 20, why we're in Iraq. It's all a grift. So you're not just voting for this country in November. You're voting in what should be the last election here. Because if this doesn't draw gunfire and they cheat and we go all the way through it, then America is lost. And you should burn that into your soul. If we don't rise up and unify before November, our country is gone. And these Marxists will consolidate power. That should make everybody draw a pause. And the reason I say that is, and I want to go back to something I said way back in January. I said in January, and it's coming true right now, that before the end of the year, they would legalize censorship, they would legalize deplatforming, and they would pass laws to enable them to deplatform any platform that challenged their authority. And what do you think they're doing right now? They just arrested yesterday the founder of Telegram. Why? Because the Atlantic Council and the State Department, and by the way, before I finish that statement, the Ministry of Truth that was shut down earlier in the year, that was going to be pushed under DHS. Remember I said they weren't going to shut it down. They were just going to move it under another organization and give it a different name. Where'd they move it? They moved it under state. And now State Department is working with what? They're working with foreign governments and foreign intelligence to shut down platforms here and to go after the founder of Telegram and probably the founder of Rumble and then the founder of Gab. And see, I don't think they care about Gab because Gab's not as big as Telegram. But why would they go after Telegram? Because Telegram has called out all of the lies, all of human trafficking, all the child trafficking, all the treason, and all the other nonsense that's gone on since the mid-50s. And it's been encapsulated in a number of streams on Telegram that they can't stop. And what did I say about control freaks? When they feel like they're losing control, they're going to try and exercise as much control as absolutely possible. And that's exactly what they're doing. Do you think it's a coincidence that this guy landed in France from Azerbaijan and he's a Russian and they picked him up and now they're trying him for, I think, 12 different charges? Yeah. And just to give you some context, so last week I was banned in Europe on Twitter because I told Tedros, I responded to one of his posts and said, you're going to go to prison for crimes against humanity. You're a fucking terrorist and you deserve to be in prison for the rest of your natural life. Instant ban in Europe. And I'll tell you that if you watch the rhetoric of Bracken, of Michael Yon, we're turning up the heat. You know why we're turning up the heat? Because they're turning up the heat. And they're turning up the heat. Why? Because this is an existential crisis for them. If the country is united against them, not just any country, this country, if this country unites against them, there won't be a fucking hole on this planet that they can get deep enough in that we won't find them and dig them out. And that means that, number one, all the disclosure around child trafficking is going to start to come out. And you're going to see that come out. That's why they're so scared. They don't give two shits about free speech. They care about the truth about them coming out. And guess what's happening right now? The truth about them is coming out. And I'm not just talking about the diaries. You know, Joe Biden showering with his kid. Everybody knows he's a flaming pedophile. And I think he's dead, to be perfectly honest. I think he died 2 months ago. And now they're just trying to keep him under wraps. I don't know who that corpse is that they're moving around California and Delaware on a weekend at Bernie's extended version. But it's not Joe Biden. Guy's a foot taller. Give me a break. And look, just since I'm on this topic, I don't know what it is and why people are so freaked out about astrology and numerology, but I took so much hate mail. So let me just reiterate. And maybe if I wouldn't have had 15 conversations today that were all with chimps and window lickers, then maybe I wouldn't be in such a bad mood right now. But first of all, the enemy uses numerology and astrology to plan their key dates. I don't know where in your computational format that gets screwed up, but that's what the enemy believes. That's not what I believe. That's not what Sharita believes. That's not what anybody that does that business believes. And the fact that we don't understand that is a vulnerability. It's a critical vulnerability in our planning. And part of the intelligence preparation of the battlefield is you understand how your enemy arrays forces across the battlefield. And you understand the enemy's disposition right in front of you. If my intelligence officer came in and said, sir, we don't understand how they're arrayed for battle, but we think that there's three divisions of armor across and they've got 10,000 drones, I would shoot him 8 rounds in the chest and 9 rounds in the head just to be sure, and then bring somebody in that could answer my questions. I'm not going to array my forces against, I think. I'm going to array my forces against what I know is in front of me to the best of my intelligence officer's ability to go ferret out that information and put eyes on those targets. I'm not going to do anything until I understand what that threat is. And the fact that we continually go back and forth because the Christian right loses their fucking minds when you talk about it. Guess what? This is what our enemy uses. You could sit there and master debate about whether it fits in the Bible or biblical context, but it doesn't solve the problem. And the problem is the enemy uses this and we don't understand it. That's a massive hole in driving operations. And by the way, while I'm saying it, intelligence drives operations, not the other way around. And the way that this works is your intelligence is out front, collecting on the enemy, trying to figure out where they are, what they're doing, and how they're moving their forces around the battlefield. We have no visibility whatsoever in how they plan, how they execute, or how they think. I would say that's a problem. So to the two Christian zealots I talked to today that were telling me I was going to burn in hell, I would rather burn in hell and destroy my enemy than fuck around and lose my country. God, mindless fucking lemmings. If you want to win this fight, then you got to get your head in the fight and get out of this preconceived notion of how the world works. It clearly doesn't work that way. And if you paid attention to anything around the Olympics, you would have figured out that our country and this planet is run by a bunch of satanic pedophiles, and it was on display. What part of that did you fucking miss? My God, 5 conversations of this today. We have to understand how the enemy plans and executes. Why is that such a problem? And get away from the inner relationships between all the corporations, all the CEOs, all the big elite families and the institutional money. This numerology and the fact that they have a satanic calendar that's driving their operations that we don't understand is a massive vulnerability moving forward unless we understand it. I don't know why people are losing their minds over this. I'm trying to understand how the enemy thinks. I'm trying to understand how the enemy plans. I'm trying to understand what the enemy has in store for the next few months so that I can better equip people to be ready, number one, and number two, interdict their operations. And I'll give you, for instance, why this is so important. 2 weeks ago, monkeypox was marching across the world. It was an existential crisis, and we needed to get those vaccines out there. People were already masking up. They were already preparing for lockdowns. And what happened? The alt-right, Telegram, Rumble, BitChute, all these alternative platforms said, no more lockdowns, period. And guess what happened? Today, Tedros said, it's not an emergency. We've got it under control. Translation, we couldn't sell it to the public anywhere on the planet. So guess what? They pulled back on it. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to release some equally horrid, scary, toxic, virulent, you know, shitty virus in its place, because I'm sure they've got a bullpen full of massive killing diseases that they can release on the public. It means that they couldn't sell this lie. All we need to do is to continue to disrupt their operations, and eventually the system will collapse on itself. And that's what we want. If we can collapse the system without having to fire a shot, then guess what? They lose all their power in a moment. And that in and of itself is the most important part of understanding the numerology cycle. If we understand that, we can interdict that, then guess what? We've got the JN-25 codes that we broke at the start of World War II. How do you think we accomplished what we did at Midway? We were outgunned, we were outclassed, and we still won the day because we had the element of surprise. We need to take back the initiative from the enemy, and we need to drive them into unprofitability and drive them into chaos. And the only way that's going to happen is if we come together and understand the enemy and put all of this woo shit aside and look at the way the enemy operates. It's a very simple equation. There's not a lot of math to this. Now that that's said, the next thing that I want to talk through is I got a bunch of questions about tires. Tires. We spent like 20 minutes talking about fucking tires last week. So let's see. First of all, you want to have good tires on your truck, not bald. You want to have things you can tow yourself out of and tow other people with if you get balled up in a ditch somewhere. That is pretty much the message last week. Have things in your vehicle. And what I've tried to do over the last several weeks is incorporate some of the things that these guys have published into the show to give it more meaning and actually drive things into Substack from the show that you could actually leverage and use and operationalize. So that's the intent of it. I'm not going to debate you about which brand of tire that you like. I don't care. It's like the renter in the White House. I'm going to give less of a shit about who's in the White House than I do right now, 5 minutes from now. I'm still not going to care. So Susie, let me answer that question. So there's a rumor, and there's only been two that have been corroborated. Not to say it's not real, but I've only seen two stories that have corroborated that there are Connexes full of weapons being dropped off all over the U.S. I assume there are. I assume they're being guarded by law-abiding citizens and police and contract security. But at the end of the day, I haven't seen any substantiation of that. So I would say that it's probably a good likelihood. I'll say it this way. Matt Bracken is 5 for 5. This would make it 6 for 6. So I trust Matt's view of the world. I trust Joe Dolio's view of the world, along with the rest of the guys on the show, because they all see the same thing that I'm seeing. And that is, don't array this number of forces and marshal this number of forces in enemy territory unless you're going to do something. Because the longer you keep them on the ground, and this is true of any group of soldiers, you keep a group of soldiers on the ground long enough, and they will find ways to get themselves in trouble. And I would assume that they're planning for a major operation. They're just waiting for the go order. And that would coincide with what Putin said last week, that the death of the dollar is imminent, and it's only going to take the flip of a switch. That should tell you that, yeah, I would assume that's real. And Matt has called a lot of things over the last year. So I think it's real. And I wouldn't be surprised. That's what I would do. Just like the whole missile, you know, stack of missiles in a Connex or on a shipping container. So I would assume that's true too. Where they are, who knows? But you can bet your ass they're pre-positioned to hit key targets, key military targets across the country. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was true. Because think about it this way. If I'm China and I had my choice between doing kinetic or keeping an occupation force already ready to go and waiting for the country to collapse, I would keep that occupation force ready to go and drive the collapse. And that's probably what we're going to see. What they're not sure of and what's not a slam dunk is you and I. We're not a slam dunk because they know we're not going to take that line down. And most of us by now have drawn a line in the sand and we're going to die on our feet. We're not going to die on our knees to a communist country or communist leadership. I sure as hell am not going to do that. So at the end of the day, it's not going to be successful, but it's going to suck going through it. How's that for an answer? I should just start off. They're all fucked. Have a good day. I don't think that. Everything in my being says we're going to come out of this a better country, but it's going to suck going through it. And the other thing is that if we don't stand up, there's not going to be any place on the planet to hide. Look at what's going on in the UK. Look at the rhetoric coming out of the UK. You have English leadership across the board that is literally saying, we support the Muslims. And they're speaking Arabic. Can you be any more blatant about the fact that you converted to Islam? Most of them are probably Muslims. What does that tell you? They've sold out their own country. And you think it's going to be any different here? We've brought them, we've imported them all here. Africa, the Middle East, Asia, China. We have them all here. Only we have more here. 42 million. And we're armed. And at the end of the day, that's going to be the decisive point, is if people are willing to stand up. And I would be willing to guess that they are. But are they going to be shocked? Yeah. I mean, today is an example of why I think people are blissfully unaware. They are working, doing yeoman's work to stay blissfully unaware. It used to be disconcerting, but now I hear stuff coming out of people's mouths. I'm like, really? Like, have you noticed that the grocery stores and Costco, the aisles have gotten wider? There's less aisles. Have you noticed that they're moving stock around and they're extending bays with the same stock to keep the illusion that they have fully stocked stores. I mean, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that they're not getting all the goods and services that they were getting 2 years ago. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the stores are getting wider and there's more room. Guess what? Supply chain slowly breaking down. Like, the one I love the best is gas prices are going down across the country. Is that because we're buying gas, or is that because we're depleting the rest of the strategic oil supply? And I've heard it both ways, right? I've heard guys say, we produce gas here, we process gas here, we're always going to have gas here. That's a bunch of bullshit. We're always 3 days away from being empty anyway. We're just in time. It's all a bunch of bullshit. Okay. Look, at the end of the day, when the fuel's gone, the fuel's gone. And it's going to be sudden like everything else. I still see lots of lines of operation collapsing on it, all one point. And I would say it's going to be right around the election time. Actually, even let me say that right for Dave. Dave, it's tomorrow. Everything's going to collapse tomorrow. So we have a running joke, by the way. But at the end of the day, the point is this. We're trying to get you ready to be the leaders in your communities, if you're not already doing that. Because the national level conversation, I'm going to address this again because this was yet another conversation I had today. Look, I routinely get hit with, we need to organize at a national level. No, we don't. Because any national level movement starts as a grassroots movement and grows into a national movement. The only way this is going to grow is at the grassroots level in every community. And it has to grow through local leadership. I mean, Flynn has been trying and pushing local action drives national changes for 4 years now. How successful has that been? And the bonfire we did 2 weeks ago, I mean, they're all wrapped up in the fact that their messaging is that we're purple, we're not red and blue. Okay, good for you. But that doesn't mean that everybody signed up for that. And most importantly, they're having the same problems that all the rest of us are, trying to get grassroots movements off the ground. And it's not a catchy buzz phrase. It's not a catchy, you know, t-shirt. It's a belief system. It's a moral compass that has to be aligned across the community. Part of the disruption and part of the division is from the fact that the enemy has done a highly effective influencing campaign, and they've attacked women and they've attacked the nuclear family. What used to be literally our ethos all the way through the 60s, family, faith, friends, or family, faith, community. Literally, it was our ethos for how many decades? And then all of a sudden, women's reproductive rights, Roe v. Wade, and then this whole conversation around the fact that the nuclear family was the problem. They have been attacking the nuclear family since the 60s. And you can blame one group or another, but at the bottom line, you know, the bottom line is they've been attacking Christianity, they've been attacking the nuclear family, and they've been attacking patriotism. Why? Because they want you divided into small, small buckets. So the gender affirming and the pronouns are fighting against the trans that don't have pronouns, and they're fighting against the gays that don't have pronouns. And they should legislate pronouns, because if you misgender me, then I'm offended. Okay, Snowflake, go fuck yourself. But you're still a dude. If you grew up with a sausage, you're a dude. If you grew up with a taco, you're a woman. I hate to break it to you. You can cut junk off, but it doesn't change your biology. Do you think they want to hear that? No, because they've done so much influencing in both college, high school, grade school. And now they're down into elementary school. Guess what? They're only trying to change one generation. And literally, I was on the phone not even 2 days ago listening to my kid talk about what's going on in Washington and all the propaganda that's being spewed about women's reproductive rights. That's literally all they have left. And let's break that down so you understand what that really means. That means they're organ harvesting and they're stealing and selling baby parts from Planned Parenthood. That's really the game. That came out, what, 10 years ago? That Planned Parenthood was harvesting children and selling body parts, and they were harvesting cells and using stem cells? I mean, come on. It's the game's the same. It's just they're trying to institutionalize and use influencing operations to get people to believe it. That's why there's so much division. And that's why they're vehemently against anybody trying to rebuild the structure around the nuclear family. When this country was at its absolute best, it's because the family was the center of the universe. All societies that have a middle class have a strong working class, a strong family structure, and a strong faith structure. Those are facts that have driven our, you know, not just our country, but the Western world for how many years now? 200? So, yeah, my pronouns are go fuck yourself. So, just so you know. Okay. I want to talk about what's on deck for the next few weeks. With the announcement of RFK on Monday, by the way, which I think it was actually over the weekend, third Friday or Saturday is when he did his announcement, which I think is pretty amazing when you think about where RFK is, especially in his campaign. They've done everything they could do to keep him off the ballot. But I think this was a strategic move that was influenced heavily by Mossad and by Israel to move him into the Trump camp. Because if you think about the bigger picture outside of the U.S., who has the most to lose if Harris becomes president? Israel. Who has the most to gain if Trump becomes president? Israel. And what are we going to see if Trump gets elected? More tax cuts for the rich, more support for Israel, etc. So the math there is not that hard. But RFK staying on the ballot in blue states and taking himself off the ballot in red states is brilliant, because it dilutes the ballots, dilutes the polls in blue states, and it dilutes some of the red states, but not to the extent that it will in the blue states. Brilliant move. Great trust move, I'm telling you. And it's put a lot of the liberal crowd into a tailspin. And the amount of stuff that they've come out, like first they came out with that he was a serial cheater, and his wife killed herself because he was cheating. It was all his fault. Then they came out, first they came out with he was a coke dealer in college, and then they came out and said that he was cheating on his wife 26 or 27 times. Okay, let me ask you a question. Do I fucking care? No, I don't care. I don't care if RFK was butt fucking Captain Kangaroo on national TV. I don't care. You know why? Because he's never going to be president. He's there as a distraction. So I don't care. And more importantly, I don't think that move is going to be anything other than a strategic move. And we'll see how it plays out. I think they're working hard to install Camilla and put fear in people. But let me put it this way. Do you think anybody was actually scared of Merrick Garland when he came out today and said, I'm going to go after anybody who challenges the erection? Okay, so anybody that challenges the election, is going to be hunted down by the FBI. Okay, bring the rain, motherfucker. Bring the rain. That's what most of the country said the moment he said that. So guess what? They don't have the people. They don't have the bodies. And I'm telling you, this time they steal the election, it's game on. I say that because I can see the visceral reaction of people across the country. And I can see the visceral reaction of people when they see Harris. All these lemmings that are on the liberal side of the house that are cheering, just let that go, right? There's always going to be, think of a bell curve, right? Bell curve goes up and then down and levels out on both sides, right? You can't touch either end. There's always going to be a third on either side. It's the one third in the middle that you care about, right? And that third is not going to vote for anything on the left. No matter what they say, no matter how they say it, they're not going to vote for anybody on the left. Why? Because they've proven that they're communists. It says a lot when RFK moves over to the Trump camp and says, I'm going to endorse him and I'm not going to take myself off the ballot. It's a lot of gamesmanship for the same reason, and that is to put them into a tailspin and take the initiative away from the left. And look, the numbers are already starting to dwindle for Harris, right? Because she's unlikable. I mean, you could put a dress on a chimp, but it's still a chimp. And all those chimps that are at the rallies, yay, oppression! Yay, communism! Yay, oppression! They're going to whistle and walk into the gas chamber anyway, probably wearing a mask. So let them do that. Let them get all excited about it. The people that have decided to vote for Trump have never wavered. They're not going to move off the ledge. The challenge is going to be, if we get to the election, we actually get an opportunity to vote, getting people on the right to show up and vote. That's going to be the challenge. It's not going to be whether Trump wins or loses. It's going to get people that are disenfranchised motivated enough to go vote for a third time. Because most of them would be like, nope, to hell with that. I'm not doing it. And most people are disenfranchised. That's the problem. You have so many people disenfranchised that they're like, the cycle's rigged. I'm not going to do it. But if we get to that place, I guarantee you, we should go out and vote. If nothing more than to just say, to the left. Now, to answer a question, what do I think about Trump doing the Tomb of the Unknown today? I think that tells me unequivocally that they can't put Harris in a public setting without a teleprompter. And two, Biden is most likely fucking dead. He probably stroked out on the plane from all the Adderall they were given. He was doing the funky chicken in his own drool on Air Force One when they called the emergency a month ago. And now it's a fucking month long of weekend of Bernie's. That's what it is. I think it says a lot that a former president goes and lays a wreath for 13 dead Marines. That is unbelievable to me. But that should tell you that everything we're seeing right now is kabuki theater. I think it shows you what kind of guy Trump is, right? Because the guy flew to Washington, D.C., the home of the enemy, flew up there, did a ceremony at Arlington. That should tell you everything you need to know about the guy. And look, like I said, I don't care about the renter in the White House. I just think it's a class act for him to stand up and go do that. Because he could have said, no, I'm not the president. I'm not doing that. But he did it for those families. Hey, you got to give him credit where credit's due. All of that matters, right? Because there's still a big portion of this country, no matter what you see in the news, there is a big portion of this country that is still very patriotic. I didn't just die in 4 years just because the press isn't covering it. That influencing operation is still there. And it should tell you something that everywhere you go, and you still talk to people, you still have people saying thank you for your service when they find out you were a soldier. That's your answer. So do I think that it's unusual that Trump would do that? Absolutely. Do I think it's out of character? No. But I think it's out of character that they can't put Biden there. It's not because Biden's on vacation. Biden's fucking dead. He's on ice somewhere. I'm telling you, that guy's not alive. It's like Carter's not alive. That's the longest hospice patient with cancer that I've ever heard of. And typically when they put you in hospice, it's because you have a finite amount of time to live because the cancer is growing in your body faster than they can treat it and hold it off. I know when my twin when he went into hospice, he was gone in almost 6 months. And had I known about ivermectin, yeah, I'd have been pumping him full of ivermectin and benbendazole every day. In fact, I just lost a friend, Parrish Lockwood, passed away last week. And I, you know, urged him to start taking ivermectin when he found out he was terminal. And he didn't do it. So it is what it is. The point is that Carter should not be alive. He probably is. He's probably on ice. So I'm looking for that too. And there'll be, of course, there'll be a spectacle around it. And he was a great humanitarian. Like the John McCain thing. I don't think we'll see the letters this time, but yeah, anyway. The point is that it's, you're seeing a lot of theater right now. Nothing's real. And I think Sharia, you're out there, Sharia. I see you out there. So you should listen to, she does American forecasting on Rumble. You should go check her out, listen to some of her predictions. She called some of this stuff a year ago, and she's been right about the energy, right about the Kabuki theater, right about the fact that, and look, I don't understand it. The numerology stuff, I don't understand it, but I can tell you that there is something to it. And that's exactly what the enemy uses. We have to figure that out, I'm telling you. So last thing I want to touch on today is I want to touch on a couple of things from a local perspective. Somebody asked me, how do I get involved locally? First of all, you got to find a church with people that you can identify with. That's the first place to start, is start with faith and build out from faith. There's a lot of play Christians out there. There's a lot of play Catholics out there. There's a lot of play Mormons out there. Doesn't matter which church or which religion you prescribe to. The point is you find your community and you start there, and then you build your way out there. I would say stay away from the work side of the house, because most work environments, people put a face on, but their belief system's completely different than what you deal with in the office. So I would say that's not a good place to start. And one, it's risky anyway these days, because there's so many people that play both sides of the fence. Politics is different in a work environment. But in a church environment, there shouldn't be a political agenda there. If there is, it just means they're douchebags anyway, and you don't want to be around them. But start there. I was doing a small group for about a year, but it was really a click. And I moved around to a couple of small groups, and I finally found a men's group that was Christian based, and I stuck with that I still talk to all those guys actually. So that's where I started. And I have military friends, I still talk to them, but a lot of my military friends are checked out too. You know, they're working, they're still in the system. They don't want to make waves. They've got families, hama hama. So start with your church. That's the best place to start. And usually, you know, and it's a numbers game, right? It's not, you're not going to go the first time and meet a bunch of people. They're going to want to talk about stuff. In fact, the guy that came, I had an appraiser at my house on Friday. And this guy saw my water jugs, and he was like, "Ah, I see you got water." And I'm like, "Yeah, I got water." And he started talking to me. He goes, "Yeah, I heard Devilish." I go back to 2021 or 22 and look for my name. You'll see me on that show. He's like, "Really?" And he goes, "What do you think of it?" I think it's a bunch of shit. But we talked for almost 2 hours. And I could tell when he was getting ready to leave that he didn't want to leave, because he wanted to pick my brain. And the thing is that those targets of opportunity will present themselves as you move forward, and making the and doing the engagements, right? So information operations, information warfare is all about engagement, about engaging people in a variety of formats. It's about being consistent with the way you talk, being consistent with the messages you're sending out, and you will start to find people, if you're consistent, that will show up. If you're timid, you don't look people in the eye, They're not going to look back, right? First impression is the last impression. So make an impression, go shake hands, go talk to people and spend some time just doing casual talk to get to know, you know, most people that are going to church are conservative. And most people that go to church have very conservative views. So it doesn't, it's not going to take long to figure out where their belief system is. And there's a lot of Christians that are blissfully unaware. You'll find that out fairly quickly. The point is do the engagement, make the engagement, continue to engage as often as possible. That's the way to go. And that's a place to start. And then the other part of it is there's usually adult groups within most of the bigger churches that allow you to go meet people in social settings. You know, it's not a dating thing, although I'm sure it's turned into Camp Harmony instead of Camp Harmony. It's, you know, it's human nature, right? But if you're there for a purpose, you're there just to meet people, go do that. Go meet people. And you might be surprised because there's lots of opportunities to meet people. And speaking of meeting people, I think there's only two or three people registered for the December 10th gunfighter course here. And I said on Telegram that it's an advanced course. So, yeah, Dave, it's tomorrow, motherfucker. Tomorrow. No, fuck you. Smartass. Dave was texting me. So, anyway. Gunfighter course, 10 through 12 September. It's here in North Phoenix at Ben Avery. It's one of the biggest ranges in the U.S. So yeah. How about I mute you, nipple rot? How about you go eat a bag of dicks? So you like that? Now go change your screen name and fuck off. God, it's always trolls. Anyway, I don't usually feed them because they're just that. Anyway, so gunfighter course 10 through 12 September. It's a 3-day course. It's 7 a.m. to 6. It's actually movement. It's moving, shooting. I think there's some small unit tactics in there too. So if you can make it, that would be a good way to meet the, you know, at least three of us from the round table, probably four of us from the round table. So, yeah, if you can make it, do it. It's, I think, seats are $850 and it's 500 rounds of pistol. I find 500 rounds of 5.56. If you're bringing 5.56, don't bring any 62 grain because it's just going to be Swiss cheese targets. Bring 55 grain. And bring your web belt. If you got a web belt, if you don't know how to do that, if you don't, look, I'll make this easy for you. If you don't know how to set that stuff up, we'll probably do some time at the start of the class to set that up and walk you through that. And I don't mind walking people through that, get people set up for that, because it's not something, if you haven't been in the military, it's not something you're going to know how to do, right? And I've had SF guys send me their kit and send me pictures of their kit and how they're loaded out. Everybody's got a different way of setting up their kit, right? My belt's fairly light. I have plates, I have a vest, and I have, you know, three mags on my vest and four pistol mags, and then two pistol pouches on my belt, maybe one 5.56 double mag belt, and then a fanny pack. Not the fanny pack that you, it's, but it's a butt pack. So anyway, so if you can make it, that'd be a good way to meet all of us. So I will tell you that when you go out to Chris's website, and let me post it out there, because it's not intuitive when you go out there and try and register for it, because it's in the middle of the page on the store and it's pay deposit for the class. It's $100. Let me post it out here. That's his blog spot. You have to go to the storefront. Once you find the class, go to the storefront, pay deposit at the class, and then email him and let him know that you paid the deposit, and he'll reach out to you. So, but Troop and I are, we've already got all the range gear set up and ready to go. And I see Troop out there. So yeah, it'd be a good time to come out and see it. And then, The other thing that we're talking about doing, at least I'm talking about doing, is a couple of videos to install more secure operating systems on both Apple and on IBM class laptops and IBM class desktops. There's a lot of people don't know how to do that. And we were talking about doing a step-by-step so you can install a more secure operating system as well as flash your phone and install a more secure OS on your phone. So I'm trying to sort through the logistics of doing that over the next couple of weeks. So that's a more technical side of the class, or more technical side for those of you who aren't technical, but it'll give you a good flavor for how to flash a phone. Not as hard as you think. The hardest part is getting the operating system that to go on the phone and actually play nice with the phone. So it's not rocket science, just like installing an operating system. And the other question I got over the weekend was, which instantiation of Linux do I like? And I will tell you, I don't like many instantiations of Linux because I'm not a Linux guy. A couple of different reasons. I use Linux. I've used Linux in my everyday life, but it's not my everyday use. I'm an Apple guy. I've used Apple forever and ever, right? It's pretty much similar operating systems. So anyway, look for that. Yes, American Forecasting is Sharita. That's what I'm referring to. Look up American Forecasting on Rumble and you will find her page. So Troop, you're talking about, oh God, you want some comedy, Tree Girl? Come watch me try and unfuck myself on the range. Oh my God, old and slow. And my shirt's going to be going this way. My pants are going to be going this way. My weapon's going to be all over the place. Yeah. Like I said, this isn't just a gunfighter course. This is come unfuck the old man's bad habits. So it's got to be a lot of different things more than just training. But the whole point is going out there and doing some training, right? Muscle memory. So if you want to come out and shoot, then come out and shoot. I'm sure we could probably arrange some kind of a range either before or after the 10th to go out and just shoot. Troop's all about that. So yeah. See how I just volunteered you for that, Troop? So anyway, Troop's a good instructor, by the way. And he's spot on. He got my pistol shooting skills back in order. So just to look, it's all about being able to take in the feedback, right? You can go out there and fight with the instructors, or you can listen to what they're saying and learn something, right? I'm not too old to realize that this is not my core skill set. So for me, going out there and doing this is me relying on the experts to help me cure my bad habits, or at least rebuild good habits. And for me, it's worth that time. In fact, I was the one that recommended this to Chris. I asked him if he could do it because selfishly, I wanted to get people here in the local area to take the course. And I may take my, you know, take my my nephews through it if they're available. So anyway, the offer is there. And if you can do the course, do the course. It's going to be worthwhile. Chris is an expert at this. And if you can't do this course, Matt Everett's going to be doing a course in North Carolina in November. I think Chris will be down there as well as Joe Dolio. I'm going to try and go down for that too. So there's a lot of opportunity over the next couple of months. I don't want to be traveling on the election day, but I'll travel probably before or after if the world doesn't blow up and cats and dogs aren't living together and falling from the sky. So yeah, keep that in mind. I want to wrap this up with a couple of things. First of all, you got to get right and you got to do some self-reflection. Now is the time to do self-reflection. And I'm saying that for a couple of reasons. So I'm fortunate enough to be dating somebody who has a tremendous amount of humanity, right? I don't have that. I got none of that left. That washed off of me in the desert and doing all the different things that I did after that, and watching kids being, you know, tortured and brutalized. So that washed off of me. But to be around somebody like that, and to, I guess the best way to say it is take that in. It really, the best, I'm struggling with words here because it's hard to articulate it being where I'm at, right? I look at everything because I'm somewhat jaded and bitter because of what I've seen. And it's forcing me to take a look at myself, right? And take a look at and reflect on where I'm at and where I need to be moving forward, right? Because I've accepted it. In fact, somebody said to me over the weekend, yet again, that, you know, you're the de facto leader of the insurgency. Yes, I know that. I signed up for that when I put my name out there. And there's other lieutenant colonels out there, lots of us out here talking and putting ourselves in the public space. But for some reason, that's been attached to me. Okay, great. And I'm thinking through being around this person, doing self-reflection, looking at how do I need to be if this actually, all these things come to pass that we've been talking about. And I can tell you, Dave's doing the same thing. And Bruce is doing the same thing. And Raoul's doing the same thing. Troop's doing the same thing. All those guys in the round table, all of them are doing the same thing. We're all reflecting on how do we need to be when this kicks off? And what kind of leaders do we need to be? You should be doing that too, because you're going to be the leader in your local area, whether you like it or not. You're going to be that leader. And you're going to have to be the voice of wisdom and the calmest voice in the room when all this stuff kicks off. Because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be not just surprised, but bewildered, because they've never dealt with adversity. So now is the time to start thinking through that and think through how you're going to be and how you need to be, and reflect on the things in your life that brought you here, right? You're here for a reason, for a purpose. And that purpose is bigger than all of us. Take that in. Because whether you like it or not, when you signed up to start preparing for this and started listening to us and started taking to heart the things we were saying, you signed up to be a leader in your community, good, bad, or indifferent. That's the lay of the land. And whether you like it or not, doesn't matter. You've chosen to go down this path. And I would say that a lot of people were chosen to go down this path. And this path is going to be bumpy. It's going to be messy. You're going to have to make decisions you've never made before. So guess what? Now's the time to start reflecting on that and start thinking about what that's going to look like for you and what you're going to need to do to prepare yourself mentally and physically for that task. Because I can tell you physically, not close to being where I should be. And I'm trying to get myself motivated to go out and do that, add that to my schedule to do that as a discipline too. And that's part of the self-reflection. So, and Sharita does a really good job of talking about self-reflection. She's better at it than I am. So plug to go listen to her talk about self-reflection. She did a show, was it January, Sharita? You did the show on self-reflection. This year of self-reflection. I took it to heart. And it's done me a lot of good. And I'll tell you why. It's done me a lot of good because now when I'm around somebody like my girlfriend and I can take that in, I can see how genuine as a person that she really is. And that she really wants to help other people. That's a genuine thing. Look at Troop. Troop's genuinely wants to help people. He's mad because he can't help people, because the system is preventing him from helping people. We should all be like that, all of us. And we should all have a side that is, how should I say it? Unmovable. Period. This is my line in the sand. When I cross that line in the sand, you will see something new. Up until we hit those guardrails, I'll have all kinds of empathy. I'll have all kinds of humanity. But once I hit those guardrails and I cross over those guardrails, it's game on. Full send. That's the way all of us should be. That when we have to send it, we fucking send it. So that's a big part of what I wanted to talk about today. And I want to remind everybody, nobody knows how this is going to develop. No one. So the key for the next 6 months is situational awareness. Know who, know what, know where you are, know who's around you, know what's around you. Don't take anything for granted. Nothing for granted. And if you have to eye fuck people to make eye contact with them, eye fuck the shit out of them. Make eye contact. Look at everybody around you. And the challenge is, see if you could pick out the people with weapons. Some of them would be obvious, some of them won't be. That's your challenge for the next couple of weeks, is to do that. We'll be back Wednesday, and we're not talking about tires. And we'll be back Thursday with the audio. And by the way, the last couple of shows, these guys had a lot of information. I'm going to try and encapsulate it into a checklist and put it on Substack so you can grab the vehicle checklist off of Substack. And we'll be back Wednesday. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.